Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Paul Matheson, who's CEO at Amazing AI. How are you today, Paul?
Very good. Always good to chat, Zach.
Right, we've had a this week, past week or two has been rather weak for the cryptos. Bitcoin now down 20% or so off the highs. I think it briefly dipped to 98,000 as well. How does that affect you? Is it good, bad, indifferent?
It actually has turned out very good. We've been very patient and strategic. We did have a view that there was likely to be a correction in these assets, so we have avoided buying in with our highly leveraged strategy at market peaks, despite a lot of people sort of pushing us to go that way. We've held firm. We've initiated our first purchase at basically close to four-month lows in Bitcoin exposure, and in the other assets like Ethereum and XRP and Solana, we're talking 6 month, even close to 12 month lows. So it's actually a really opportune time for us to deploy capital.
Right, so it's almost like it's a buy the dip. Probably everybody accepts that eventually Bitcoin will be up, but near term, if you can buy a dip or get near a support area, you're a happy bunny.
Yes, very happy. I mean, we are still extremely bullish on the whole sector and Bitcoin over the medium term. Even by the end of the year, Bitcoin could well be back at record highs. So this correction has suited us perfectly.
And I suppose if you had done what everybody else had done and just bought some Bitcoin and sat back, the last month or two would have been rather painful in terms of share prices and sentiment and everything else.
Yeah, well, it would have been extremely painful because we would have not only been gaining exposure to Bitcoin at record highs over the last month of, you know, 125,000, but we would have been putting in capital with 100 times leverage under our unique strategy. So, I mean, we could have faced losses of 50 to 80% as opposed to now buying at these massively discounted prices, which should do very well for the shareholders entering in volume now, including myself as the major shareholder. So we're quite happy and pleased at the choice we made.
And do you think that there's further to go in terms of negative sentiment on just, you know, buy and hold Bitcoin? And that will, do you think that will obviously gravitate people towards you as well?
So one of the key reasons we took a view that there would be a correction is a lot of the ramp up in the short term in price from 100,000 to 125,000 was driven by, you know, crypto treasury, Bitcoin treasury 1.0, just blindly raising as much money as they can, buying at any price. And that spiked demand above even normal levels and ratcheted the price up. As we saw those treasury companies come under price pressure, it was obvious that they would not be able to buy anymore because they've lost the ability to raise money to buy. So that was the key reason we took that position that there would be a correction. So we think there's a little bit more to come from that. So we're being very careful even now at dollar cost averaging into our position, but we are fully set up to, if for instance, there was a one-off short decline and Bitcoin was to crash to 75,000, which is the actual major support level, then we could take a position to deploy 50% of our capital at that time. So we don't think it's smart just to, you know, buy no matter what at any price or so forth. You need to be strategic. I mean, you don't hire fund managers or institutions or your advisor to just say, oh, we'll just buy at any price. I mean, there needs to be some level of strategy and insight into the marketplace.
And so once you're into the, you know, you're into position, and let's say, you know, you get a spread of positions between, you know, 110 and 75 or whatever happens, Does that mean that that's it, you're set, and you just stay in position and you wait for $1 million, or would you continue to dip into the market and if there were other opportunities?
Yeah, so we would establish that as our core position. So we wouldn't be selling that. So we'd have that exposure, but we would be looking to add to that if there are, market opportunities. So, the dollar cost averaging, taking advantage of corrections smartly, but we still have a long-term view and are trying to maximize our exposure. So our, the key thing that I'm not sure a lot of the investors quite get yet is that our strategy gives 100 times exposure to the upside over the crypto and digital assets. So if Bitcoin is to go to 1 million over the medium term, we wouldn't be making, buying now, 5 to 10 times returns. We'd be making 100 times the returns. So we're very capital efficient. We don't need to dilute the company, constantly raise money just to take a one-to-one position. So most of these Bitcoin treasury companies have simply bought Bitcoin, hoping for the best, diluted their company. One of the major players in the UK, has a position where their average price of their exposure for a couple of 100 million is 110,000 in Bitcoin. So shareholders have ended up with a position where they're down on their asset, diluted, and hoping and praying that Bitcoin goes up. For us, Bitcoin collapses, we make money. If one of the other five assets go up or down over time, we make money. We're not just aligned to one single, very simplistic strategy.
The other point, which is a differentiator between you and the competition, if there is any competition, is that you actually have a proper business in the company, of a proportionate business, a US business, a lending business. How is that going to contribute to amazing AI?
So the other big difference is that a lot of the exchanges globally are requiring companies to have a proportionate or 50% business outside of pure treasury. So we have that in place. We can easily deploy 50% of our capital into a very high yielding 60% per annum returning business in the US that we've been operating since 2010. So it's very simple for us to be proportionate and grow the business. We can also deploy our excess profits out of that business, where we're netting around 30% returns into our treasury strategy, at opportune times.
The other final point is that you mentioned some of the competition. They have market caps way above what you have. Your market cap's around 3 million, which is perhaps a reflection of the market not fully understanding the opportunity that you're providing, and also not understanding the leverage that you have as well. That and I suppose again the competition has much more risk on board than you do. If Bitcoin did go down, they're geared to the downside in quite a dramatic way. Do you think that it's a prime sort of job that you have to sort of educate the market and educate maybe the market makers as well, that what the opportunity is, what the upside is, and the fact that the downside is hedged?
So, I mean, we're only exposed right this second to a few thousand to Bitcoin exposure over the call options and the put options. So if Bitcoin was to collapse tomorrow to 75,000, the impact on us would be non-material and very tiny, as opposed to the other treasury companies. Their shares would probably fall 40, 50% immediately. And they have no way of digging themselves out of that, as opposed to us that can deploy capital and gain 100 times exposure. So we could end up in the next couple of months of having more exposure to the upside over digital assets than even the biggest players in UK, with only 1 or 2 million of actual capital being required to be deployed. So we think that is much better to be having the exposure to 100, 200 million of digital assets, but only risking 1 or 2 million, as opposed to putting all your eggs in one basket and having 200 million of exposure that you could potentially lose 150 million, over that asset base. But there's also risk of delistings based on non-proportionate businesses. So we see a big opportunity to acquire these companies. We think the prices will continue to go lower, and we could end up buying some of these companies very cheaply, selling off their basic treasury position and deploying 50% of the capital into our sophisticated strategy, 50% into our lending business, generating huge returns. And we see that as a much more exciting opportunity for investors.
On that triumphant note, Paul Matheson, CEO at Amazing AI, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Zach. Speak soon.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.